Luke chapter number 10, Luke's gospel chapter 10. I prayed and was in a study most evening. I told my wife, I said, I'm just having real difficulty getting zeroed in on the mind of God for the service. And sometimes knowing the will of God is easy, and sometimes it's difficult. I'll just be honest with you. And, you know, sometimes I can see it on out, you know, a week or so in advance. But sometimes I'm about stepping in it before I see it. You know, I'm walking through the door, getting ready to go to the pulpit nearly before I see it. But the Lord brought this passage to my heart and stirred my heart about it just not long, really, before I come to church tonight. And I know we've heard it preached, and I've preached this passage before. I mean, you've heard the Good Samaritan story preached on. Well, actually, it's not a story. It's true. And but I want to look at verse number 30. I'm interested in verse number 30. The Bible says, "And Jesus answering said," of course He's answering the certain lawyer back up in verse 25 that asked the question, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And verse 27, he said this, and he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy might, and the neighbor and thy neighbor as thyself." And he said unto him, "That thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live." But he willing to justify himself. Notice that. He was interested in salvation, but he was interested in what can I do? What can I do? And to justify himself, said unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Now that's the question asked. And then verse 30, Jesus begins to answer that question. Who is thy neighbor that you're to love as yourself? And he gives the illustration, an example in verse 30. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.' Which now these 3, thinkest thou, was neighbor?" See, he's still talking about that question. Who is my neighbor? He said, "Of these 3, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." So we find the passage answers the question. Of course, your neighbor that is not who lives beside of you. Your neighbor is anybody that you come across that is in need of God, in need of help in some fashion that you can minister to them. But I'm not going to deal with the passage in that light, which that is the context. But I just want to deal from a practical standpoint. Verse number 30, and I just want to preach on the subject, leaving Jerusalem for Jericho. And I want to ask you a question tonight. Why would anyone want to leave Jerusalem to go to Jericho? Now, Jerusalem in the Bible is a type of the will of God. It's a type of the house of God. Amen. Why would anybody want to walk away from the house of God, the will of God, and go toward Jericho, or go to Jericho? And we always know nothing good is said about Jericho in the Bible. It's a cursed city. Amen. God destroyed it in the book of Joshua and cursed anybody that's going to build that city again. And nothing good said about it. Nothing good said about it. It's a type of the world. It's a type of the world. Why would anybody want to leave Jericho and go to, or leave Jerusalem and go to Jericho? Now, I can understand why a lot of people would want to leave Jericho and go to Jerusalem. Now, I could understand that move. But there's a lot of people. I've been preaching 28 years, and I'm telling you, I've seen many people walk away from Jerusalem, spiritually. Walk away from the will of God, the house of God, and go to the world. I've seen it so many times, and I don't believe all of them are lost. I don't believe all of them are lost. Are you listening? But why would anybody be interested in making that move? You will never find in the Word of God where Jericho and Jerusalem gets hooked up together. They never have anything in common. They're a contrast. Amen. They're a contrast. They can never be comrades. They can never be buddy-buddy. But rather, they're conflicting towns. Everything that Jerusalem's for, Jericho's against. Everything Jerusalem's against, Jericho is for. And so there it is. Amen. Why would anybody that knows God, knows the will of God, knows salvation, why would anybody want to walk away from the will of God, the house of God, and go to Jericho? So I'm just going to preach on that a little while tonight, on leaving Jerusalem for Jericho. Amen. And I'm telling you, our churches are not filling up for the most part. Our churches are emptying out. Where are they going? I tell you where they're going. Jericho. Jericho's more interested, more appealing to the flesh. Jerusalem don't appeal to the flesh. I'm just telling you. Jerusalem, the will of God, does not appeal to the flesh, but Jericho does. Jericho is known for its sin. That's where Rahab, the harlot, my friend, made her living. It was a wicked place. I'll say more about it. That's appealing to the flesh. Whether you stay at Jerusalem or go to Jericho depends on this thing. Which nature is in control of your life? If the flesh is in control, I guarantee you I can go ahead and map out your future. You're Jericho bound. If you're walking after the flesh, if you're living after the flesh, if you're interested in the flesh, leaning on the flesh, loving the flesh, catering to the flesh, amen, you're headed to Jericho. You're headed that way. Amen. I'm worried about some that are headed seemingly away from Jerusalem and headed to Jericho. Let me deal with this quickly if I could tonight. First of all, I just want to throw out possibly some reasons. What are some possible reasons why a man, as in our text, would want to leave Jerusalem for Jericho? Why would you want to trade Jerusalem for Jericho? And by the way, spiritually, you can't have an address in both cities. Amen. You cannot live in both. Amen? You cannot be a resident in both. They're contrasting cities. They're contrasting conditions. Amen? You're in one or the other. Amen. Well, I tell you, I'm not going to lie to you. There's been times it's been tempting for me to leave Jerusalem. There's been times on my part that's been tempting. Boy, the flesh and the feelings, amen. And you think, man, if I get away from Jerusalem, I'll leave behind my problems. Well, you might leave behind some problems, but you're fixing to step into a whole lot more. But anyway, what are some possible reasons? What are some possible reasons? Number one, I believe that one of some of the possible reasons is preaching. Now, why would anybody leave Jerusalem and go to Jericho and you said, preacher, one of the reasons is preaching? You know what I found out? I found out that Jericho had over 12,000 priests residing within its town. Yeah. Why would I want to go to Jericho? Because I like that Jericho preacher. I want a Jericho preacher. I don't want a Jerusalem preacher.
I don't want a Jerusalem preacher that'll preach my hide off. Amen. Point to deal with me when I'm drifting. Deal with me when I'm getting cold. Amen. And let you know. I don't want that. I want a Jericho preacher that never says nothing about nothing. Amen. Now it's amazing that Jericho was known for its sin and had 12,000 priests. You'd think, surely to goodness, that Jericho would have a little bit of righteousness in it. You'd think Jericho would have a little bit of light in it with that many priests. No, not everybody that's carrying a Bible, buddy, is a preacher. Not everybody that's, amen, standing in a pulpit today is a Jerusalem preacher. This world is full of Jericho preachers. Turn on the radio and turn on the television. You can see them. They're a dime a dozen. Pretty well easy to identify them. Just look at their lifestyle, look at the church, and look what they preach against. Amen. Those priests in Jericho never preached against nothing. And they didn't practice much either. But I just thought a lot of people's leaving Jerusalem because of preaching. They want to go where they can get their ears tickled. I had one individual in Rogersville. I was sitting across the table from him. He was kind of interested in our church. And he said to me, I don't want none of that negative preaching. I don't want a preacher that'll tell me negative things. Now, what good is that? God's the one that come up with the word not. Thou shalt not. Amen. Amen. But anyway, I don't want to labor there much, but I thought about the preaching possibly allured them away from Jerusalem, and I believe that. There's a lot of people don't want what we're offering. A lot of people don't want the preaching style that we have. Amen? Why? Because they don't want that. They don't want to be dealt with. They don't want nothing to confront them. They want to sit on the pew, and I've had them to tell me that. We want a church that we can feel comfortable in. No, I want to go to a church that'll preach to kill my flesh. Amen. I want every time to go to church that the preaching shows my flesh the cross. Amen. Well, anyway, I'll get off that. But that could be a reason. Maybe he heard there's a whole lot of preaching down there in Jericho, and they don't preach against nothing. Don't mind you to gamble and roll dice and chase women, and they don't mind you to drink on the side and dance and all this stuff. You don't even have to do nothing right. Just go down there. There's plenty of churches. 12,000 priests resided in Jericho. Wonder why all them preachers liked it. Their address matched up with their actions. But anyway, number two, a second thing that possibly was a reason for leaving Jerusalem and going to Jericho is not only preaching, but also pleasures. Judges 1 and verse 16, the Bible called Jericho the city of palm trees. Oh yeah, it was a vacation spot. Oh, yeah, palm trees everywhere, shade, plenty of shade. Plenty of shade, and where there's palm trees, there's water. So there's plenty of water. I just kind of got my mind, you know, probably like some of these elaborate vacation spots you can imagine. You know, palm trees, blue water, you know, resorts, amen. Pleasures. Why would anybody leave Jerusalem and go to Jericho because of pleasures? Listen, I'm not out in left field preaching that. That's the truth. People I've seen in 28 years of preaching, I'm telling you, I couldn't tell you the families and the individuals and young people and homes, my friend, that have left Jerusalem and went to Jericho because they wanted to never turn loose of the pleasures of sin. They wanted to be involved. They wanted to have fun. A third thing that possibly could cause a person to leave Jerusalem and go to Jericho is not only preaching and pleasures, but problems. Problems are not locational. Well, if I had another address, if I was in another church, If I was in another church, if I was in another location, or if I lived somewhere else, or if I had a different preacher, or amen, if, and then another if, amen, then maybe I would have these problems. Preaching, problems are not where you live, it's how you live. And it could be that problems are indicating that you're in the definite center of God's will. Do you notice that? Problems are not a sign that you have the will of God every time. Amen. Then it could be problems, then it could be peers. I know this man was alone, but he could have been chasing somebody. He could have been trying to catch up with his buddies. People leave Jerusalem, they don't leave alone. They're going to bring somebody with them. They're going to influence somebody, but it could be their peers. But here's a point I really want to deal with a little bit more in detail. Not only the possible reasons for leaving, and I hope that people are listening tonight, because I am concerned about some folk and the direction that seemingly that they're heading in. But not only the possible reasons for leaving, but the patterned route. We have in the text the route that you will take if you decide. And by the way, could I say this? I wrote it right here on my paper. Going from Jerusalem to Jericho is a choice. It is not by constraint. You are not forced. This man was not made to leave. He was not forced to leave. He wasn't preached out. He wasn't pushed out. He made a deliberate choice to go toward Jericho. It's choice. I appreciate Miss Seabolt testifying about that. It's choices. Amen. But a patterned route of leaving Jerusalem and going to Jericho. Number one, I would like to talk about the distance of this journey. The distance of this journey. I found out in studying the Word of God that Jericho was approximately 18 to 21 miles away from Jerusalem. Approximately. 18 to 21 miles. Now watch this. If you take both of those numbers and look at them in Scripture numerology, 18 is the number of bondage. And 21, if it's 21 miles, 21 is the number of the exceeding sinfulness of sin. So either way, it's not good. We're talking about its distance. Now listen to this. This is good. If it's 18 miles and you walked a mile in 30 minutes, you ladies that walk, Miss Stacy, can you walk 1 mile in 30 minutes? Oh, yeah. Did you hear that, Brother Scott? Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's logical. You don't even have to walk fast. Walk 1 mile in 30 minutes, right? That's approximately 2 miles an hour if you can keep that pace up. Did you know you can be in Jericho from Jerusalem in 9 hours? In 9 hours' time, your life can be a wreck. It don't take long to get to Jericho. Leave Jerusalem, the will of God, the house of God, God's best. Hey, that's where Jesus lived. Amen. Bound to be pretty good. It's where Jesus lived. But it's distant. I believe that ought to speak to the young people in the fact that you, my friend, can be in a mess in a short period of time. Now, watch this right here. Not only it's distance, but I want you to notice it's downhill. The Bible said a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. If you leave Jerusalem, guess what direction your life is going? Down. It's declining. It's going lower and lower and lower. Now watch this right here. And I've seen a lot of people leave Jerusalem and go to Jericho in 28 years. But I've never seen one of them blessed. I've never seen one of them that could send back an email or a report and say, "Hey, getting out of the will of God was good for me." No. 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 And this man right here didn't have a good report either. No, sir. It's downhill. Watch this right here. Watch this right here. You talking about a steep grade? Listen to this. A very steep descent
from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jericho was 825 feet below sea level. Are you listening? Sounds like another town that's had a lot of problems over the last couple years. That's below sea level. Yeah. New Orleans. But, amen. That place certainly is not a righteous place. But it's 825 feet below sea level. Jericho, listen. Jericho was 3,000 feet below Jerusalem. Now keep in mind, it wasn't but 18 miles away, but it was 3,000 feet below them. You get out of the will of God and leave the house of God and God's purpose for your life and God's best for your life. I'm telling you, your life is not going to be uphill. It's not going to increase. It's not going to get better. It's going to be a rapid descent. It's going to be a rapid descent. Amen. You'll not be better for leaving it. You'll be worse. 3,000. Listen to this. A person walking this path would decline rapidly. And all of us know that steep a grade is easy to get. It's easy to go down. Easy to go down. Amen. And go down quickly. Have you ever seen anybody, and I know, not just me, but I know you as well, know people that's got out of the will of God. Have you ever seen such a rapid, quick descent? I'm telling you, I've seen people, even right here in Rogersville, right here with this church, got out of the will of God, and I'm telling you, in days, weeks, and months, my friend, their life and their home and their children is in shambles. And some of them, to my, and I regret even to say, is not even in church tonight. That once sat on these pews with a powerful testimony and shouted the victory, and I believe loved God. The will of God, friend, is not to be trifled with. Just go ahead and tell yourself it's the best God has for you. And no matter how hard it is and difficult, stay with it. Stay with it. Can I say the devil will tell you Jericho is an option, but you ought to tell yourself Jericho is not an option. My spiritual address will never be Jericho. I'm not interested in Jericho. I got saved out of Jericho. I used to live in Jericho. I was in Jericho for 20 years. It did nothing for me but put me in my life. Thank God for Jerusalem and the will of God and the house of God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Those times that I felt tempted to leave Jerusalem. Oh, I'm glad I didn't. All those times that I looked over the edge of the hill and looked down there and all the limelights and listened to the hoorahs and listened to the sounds of pleasure, and I look at my Jerusalem and I see problems and rejection, and the devil says, why don't that down there look a lot better? Oh, I would be lying to say there's not been times in my life that the Jericho road looked tempting. Are you listening? But oh, I'm thankful tonight, hallelujah, that I didn't go that route. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm glad I didn't go that route, Brother Brian. I'm glad I stayed with the stuff. I can't say I've been perfect. I can't say that. But I can testify. Listen, I can testify. Jerusalem is a lot better than Jericho. It may not look that way at the first. It may not look like that for a week. It may not look like that for 2 months or a year or 6 years. But one day after a while, Jericho is going to wear you out. Amen. Hmm.
Amen. I've even been amazed how, I'm talking about as a preacher, I've been amazed at how quickly that I've lost ground spiritually. I mean, I've noticed that many times in my life, how quickly that I went from spiritual elevations of Jerusalem to lower descending elevations of Jericho. Oh, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, I've been, oh Lord God. I'm just going to tell you, if God never uses me, it'll be God. Amen. I've been the sorriest Christian. That's my testimony. I believe that. I know I live with me. Amen. I've been the sorriest Christian, the sorriest preacher. I told God this week, I said, God, don't say in the world you do anything with me. Amen. Amen. That's right. Some of you look at me about how crazy. Amen. That's right, but we're all in the same boat. Amen. I'm telling you, you fool with you young people, not just you young people, any age. Up and down that Jericho Road is any age. You can find any age. It don't matter if it's a mama. She starts stepping down off that Jerusalem level, she's going to go down. If the daddy starts off that spiritual Jerusalem level, going to go down. If little junior starts off that down there, and little sissy starts off down through there, guess what? They're all going to decline. That road, my friend, shows no mercy on families. Well, I got to hurry. Amen. But I'm talking about the distance. I'm talking about that patterned route. We have a pattern. We have a pattern right here. If you get away from God, which direction you're going? And what will be the end result? Not only it's distance, that route. It's downhill. Amen. And it don't take but a short time to be way down yonder. Because of it's such a steep grade, Brother Ivan, you can look around in just moments. And you can look around in just moments and you can look at yourself and say, how in the world did I get here this quick? How did I get here when I used to be there? I tell you the truth, honestly. I've left church on Sunday night. I don't know how I could have been much higher. And on Monday, I don't know how I could have been much lower. And it wasn't the devil, it was the flesh. Amen. Allowing that Jericho nature in me to be in the driver's seat. It's much easier to go downhill than uphill. But just always remember, it will be uphill on the way back. It may seem like, oh, I'm just coasting, I'm declining, I'm on a rapid descent, and everything is fine. But one day after a while, you'll want to get back in the will of God. One day after a while, you'll want to be able to pray. You'll want to be able to get back involved in church and the things of God, and you'll have to climb that hill. Oh, what effort it takes to go uphill. What energy it takes to go uphill. You can walk downhill faster a mile in 30 minutes, but you won't walk uphill that fast. Amen. You won't walk uphill that fast. I promise you. Listen, it's easier to get out than it is to get in. Listen, young people, please listen, preacher. It's easier to stay in than it is to get back in. I've had people to tell me, and they're not right yet today. They said, preacher, it was a short way out, but it's a long way back, and they're not right yet today. Devil says, get out. Go to Jericho. And all he'll ever point out is the limelights and the ease. He won't tell you that when you decide you want to get right with God and have the power of God on your life and be an influence to your peers, that it might take you a while to get back in the will of God. Amen. I went from Jerusalem spiritually, Brother Jeremy, to Jericho spiritually, just off a few little choices. Choices to think about this. Choices to have this attitude. Choices to say these words. Choices, amen, amen. Choices not to read the Bible. Choices not to pray. Amen, that is a choice. I said that is a choice. Hello, hello, that is a choice. If you don't pray, it's because you choose not to. If you don't read the Word of God, it's because you choose not to. Amen, if you're not in Jerusalem, it's not because somebody's forcing you over the edge. Amen, amen, if you leave Jerusalem, it's because you'll make choices to go in Jerusalem. And I want to tell you what about friendship. Let me tell you about friendship. You are fooling yourself, you're shooting yourself in the foot to have a friend that's always trying to pull you down the Jericho road. Hey man, I tell you what, listen, if they're always a pulling you down to Jericho and you're hunting a mate off of them Jericho kids, amen, you're looking for a mate among them Jerichoites, I'm going to tell you, what do you think is going to happen when you tell them, you know what, I'm sick of Jericho. Mom and daddy didn't raise me for Jericho. My preacher didn't preach to me about being in Jericho. I want to get right with God. I want my life to count. I want to raise our children for Jesus. And you know what will happen? They're going to say, no, I want Jericho. This thing to do is find somebody that hates Jericho. Find somebody that loves Jerusalem. Amen. And say, that's what I want. Amen. Amen. Somebody that'll get in your way every time that you even start looking down the Jericho road. That's a friend you want. That's a friend you want that'll tell you, look, if you're in Jerusalem, I'll be your friend. If you go to Jericho, you're going without me. Amen. I'm not leaving Jerusalem to go to Jericho for our friendship. You want to be my friend? Let's stay in Jerusalem. Shout the victory. Amen. Be identified with the will of God. But if you go to Jericho, you'll go alone. Amen. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. I'm having a good time tonight. Amen. Amen. You've heard me make this statement so many times, you ought to be able to quote as good as I can. If your friends is not complimenting your faith, they are complicating your faith. Your friends is wanting you to live in one of two places, Jerusalem or Jericho. Brother Mark, back years ago, we had a man come through here, a Mr. Williams, that was over the Hephzibah house. It was a girl's home. And he made the statement that all the years that they've had the girls' home, they've never had one resident that had to come to their home, but what it did not come to that point because of friends. Not excluding anyone. Everyone that's come to their home has come there because of friends. The influence of friends. Are you listening? Amen. I wish I could have heard, Brother Brian, I wish this crowd could have heard the weeping of that mother me and you heard the other night. That mama stood at my car door and me and Brother Brian sitting there, and that mama with tears said, my son is killing me. Friends. 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 Are you listening? And I'm telling you, that mother, and she even mentioned it, that mother is suicidal. She said, there ain't but one thing keeping me with sanity. Are you listening? I wouldn't be a bit surprised. My phone rang any time. And she's committed suicide, or at least attempted it. Hey, I'm going to tell you kids something.
That is never in 5 million years going to be the will of God that you treat your parents to the point that they think, I need to kill myself. Shame on any child that will push their mom and daddy to the point that they even hate living. Amen. I would have waited until next week, Mother's Day, and used that illustration. But we might be in heaven next week. Amen. Ain't nothing spiritual found in rebellion. Rebellion comes from the starter and originator of rebellion, and that's the devil himself. The prince of power of the air that worketh in the spirit of disobedience. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. Amen. You run with the Jerichoites and they'll pull you there. You will not stay in Jerusalem. Listen, I'm telling you what I've seen from experience. I'm telling you, if you listen or not listen, you have that choice, that privilege. I don't ever know of one example where a young person, boy or girl, my friend, ran with Jerichoites that stayed in Jerusalem. I don't know of one. Not one. Who's influencing you the most? People at Jerusalem or the Jerichoites? Amen. And I promise you, just like those in Jerusalem, don't want them 12,000, my friend, ear-tickling priests in Jericho, then I promise you the same is true. That crowd in Jericho don't want none of that Jerusalem preaching. Amen. I tell you, whether you gauge a good friend or not, bring them one time when I'm preaching on sin and see how they like it. I don't preach on it all the time, but bring them sometime when we're plowing a little bit and see if they get in the car and run your preacher down. If they run the preacher down, open the door and say, get out. Walk to the house. You don't like my preacher? You don't like preaching on sin? You don't like preaching against Jericho? Then get out, amen. Amen. That's right. Woman, well, I ain't going to go too much details on that. Sometimes I have a problem getting going too personal, too particular, and too specifics on illustrations. Because all I know is illustrations that's personal, that I know. Amen. Had a lady in our church the other day call me, said, preacher, well, I was talking to her actually on the phone when the doorbell rang. And she said, oh, it's so-and-so. I said, really? I said, call me back after they leave. She called me back in a few minutes. It didn't take long. I figured it'd be a while, but it didn't take long. So, preacher, they came over here to talk about you. And I stopped them in the middle of their wording. I said, look, let me just get something clear. You're not talking about my pastor. I love my man of God. I'm behind him. You're not talking about it. Amen. Guess what happened to that conversation? It was over. Amen. Yeah, that'd stop a lot of it, amen. Nobody will ring your phone off the hook, my friend, if you put them in your place. Say, look, we want to be friends. We'll talk about the balls. We're talking about catching a fish and killing a deer or whatever. But we're not talking about my church. And we're not talking about that preacher. That'll fix it, praise God. I feel a little bit of that clown come on, amen. Where's my shovel, praise God, amen. 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 Let me also deal, not only, y'all still with me? Not only that route, that patterned route, it's distance, it's downhill, but I want to tell you, it's dangerous. You know what? Listen, you know what they called the Jericho Road? They called it the Bloody Way. They called it the Red Road. Why? Because on that road, there were so many pirates. There were so many thugs, amen, that, my friend, it was not uncommon for somebody to be beat to the point that they bled. Even the one in the text fell among thieves. And the Bible said they stripped him of his raiment and wounded him departed, leaving him half dead. Bro, I'm going to tell you, you get out of the will of God. Listen, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I believe we've got a pattern right here. You leave Jerusalem and go to Jericho, your life will be full of wounds. Your life will be full of things being stripped away from you. And my friend, you'll be left by the side of the road, my friend, in the ditch of despair. Half dead, wounded, bleeding, with nothing. I just worded it this way. That I'm talking about number three, the painful regret of leaving. You'll be stripped. You cannot leave Jerusalem without losing. Oh, that's a good statement, isn't it? You cannot leave without losing. If you leave, you're going to lose. You say, but preacher, I've been studying this Jericho Road. I know where the thugs are at and the thieves, and I know where the dangerous parts are, and I'll be extra cautious right there. You honestly believe that? You honestly believe that? The fact that you're on the Jericho Road shows me you're a fool. You're not smart enough to look for thieves. You're not smart enough, my friend, to look for the dangerous spots. If you're on the Jericho Road that's taking you from the will of God, the house of God, the Word of God, my friend, the presence of God, the peace of God. Jerusalem stands for the peace of God. Leave that and go to Jericho. You're vulnerable. Amen. You step away from the will of God. You step away from the protection of God. He was stripped, he was scarred, and he was stomped, and he was stranded, left by the road. Are you listening? The prodigal son in Luke 15. The prodigal son in Luke 15, we all know the story. He didn't wind up in the far country in a pig pen overnight. It started at the house, in his heart, and in his desires, and in his mind. How did he want to know? How did he want to go to the far country if he didn't know about it? How did he know about it? He probably run with some far country friends. How did he know about the far country if all he ever had was the Father's house, and the will of God, and serving, and working in the fields? No, he had to get text messages from his far country friends. Had to get emails from his far country friends. And it's easy to identify them far country friends. Look at the language they use. And I'm going to tell you right now, listen, I could stress really how serious I am about this, but I wouldn't have a friend that would use filthy language sending me a text, email, Facebook, amen, or any of that other stuff. Amen. If they cuss, they lack character. I don't want no dealings with them. That's the truth. Amen. If you're tolerant toward that, if you're sympathetic toward that, tolerant toward that, allow that to come in on your computer, allow it to stay, let them remain your friends, you're a participant, you're a sympathizer, you ain't right with God. Amen. That's right. This has been several years ago. Several years ago when we first got the internet. It was one of them games. Something Blake was playing a game or something. You know, they don't do it no more, but he's on some kind of game. And I mean, down in the bottom corner, one of the corners there, it showed how they was, while they were playing, they was typing in stuff. And I mean, it was just one line out after another. And I mean, it was blanket to this and GD that. And I mean, it was awfulest cuss mess you ever seen. Hey, man, I got in the chair and I can't type too quick. But son, I went to type in Jesus loves you, Jesus hates your sin, Jesus died for you, you better repent, just fast as I could type it in and punch enter. I'd type and hit enter. And there would be a bunch of all this cussing, all of a sudden here come a line, Jesus loves you, Jesus died for you. And finally, they all turned on me. Son, they was cussing Jesus. They was, calling Jesus every name in the book. Hey, friend, why would I want any dealings with that bunch? Amen. Well, I don't know how I got hung up on that.
But there will be regret. You leave Jerusalem, go to Jericho. I promise you, you'll call my number one day. You will stand up and testify one day. Just like a man that used to sit right here. I've got his letter at the house. If I'd known I was going to deal with this, I would have brought it. It's nothing. It's no secret, Brother Ricky Massengale. Y'all remember Ricky and Beatrice and them that used to come here? Ricky Massengale used to sit in my Sunday school class, and he sat right here on these pews and heard me preach when I first come up here. And you know what? He is now, I don't know if he's now still yet in prison, but he's been in prison for a long time. Down next to where Brother Willis is at. And found out the chaplain there knew me because he goes to Brother Willis's church. And he wrote me a hand page, several pages of handwritten letter. And you know what the summary of that is? I regret I didn't listen to you, preacher. I regret just taking your preaching and your teaching lightly. I'm sorry. If I'd have listened, I wouldn't be here. I promise you. Listen, I promise you. You go to Jericho, you will give a testimony. You will give a report of regret. A painful regret. It will cost you. Sin is costly. And it will cost you. Amen. Of course, this last point is a big subject. I don't have time to deal with it. In fact, I'm just going to mention it because I feel like we need to give an invitation. Not only is there the possible reasons, there is the patterned route, there is the painful regret, but also there is the precious rescue. Amen. The basic gist, Brother Klepper, of this point is, if there's someone sitting here tonight, and I don't believe God would have sent this message tonight, if there wasn't somebody in danger tonight, somebody contemplating that move, contemplating that choice of going from Jerusalem to Jericho, hey, I'm going to tell you, dear friend, it's not hopeless. You can turn around. There's a good Samaritan that'll help you. There's a man that couldn't help himself in the ditch. And the good Samaritan come by with compassion and mercy. Got in the ditch with him. Didn't put his foot on him and kick him. Said, hey, listen, hey! If you would have listened to that preacher rightly, you wouldn't be here today. He didn't kick him, my friend, in the head and say, you sorry thing. Why in the world did you leave? Why didn't you listen to mama? Why didn't you listen to daddy? Why did you not do that? Why did you run with Jerichoite friends? He didn't do none of that. Showed mercy and compassion. Poured oil and wine the wounds, amen. Bound up the wounds, amen. Picked him up, put him on his own beast, praise God, and started taking care of him. If you're headed down the Jericho Road, don't go too far. In fact, if you went any distance on it, you've already went too far. Turn around. Run back to the will of God. Run back, my friend, to Jerusalem. Fast you can go. Fast you can go. Amen. Let's all sing.